Last Sunday night, I spoke for a little while about, or from the words, mainly from the words of John the Baptist, that Jesus must increase and that he, John the Baptist, must decrease. I want to sort of pick up from that this evening. He must increase and I must decrease. That doesn't mean that John the Baptist had a problem with pride. Doesn't mean that John the Baptist had a problem with desiring the prominent place. It doesn't mean that he was wanting to be lifted up and recognized as some big, important person. He was just recognizing the reality that Jesus must increase and he decrease. Now, in his particular context, he was beginning to step off the scene, and Jesus was coming on the scene. And for us, we must always keep it in mind, always keep it before us, that we are to decrease and he should increase. That we are not to be the focal point, but that Jesus is the focal point. That God, the kingdom of heaven, is the focal point. I'm reminded of the passage in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, where the disciples had found themselves in a predicament or in a certain type of circumstance that caused them maybe to be a little bit confused or concerned, apprehensive. There's a lot of words that we could probably squeeze into that particular context for the feelings of the disciples. But they were being pressed. They were being squeezed into a mold, and they didn't like it. They knew that it wasn't right, but they were limited in knowing how to deal with it. And so we find in that context that they went and prayed. Verse 31 picks up with it, with that kind of wording. And that when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. That's what they were asking for. That's what they were needing, was an additional touch from heaven so that they could, with boldness, proclaim God's word. That was their need. That may not be the specific need of your context or of my context. But there's still, within the context that we find here of our lives, the need to go back to God, go back to in prayer to him, to be refilled with his presence. Now, what stands out in my mind here in this verse is perhaps that little phrase that speaks about the place was shaken. You know, I like tangible things. I like things that I can really visualize or even touch. I like that. You go back earlier into the book of Acts when we find, and we call it, the day of Pentecost was fully come. That was the outpouring of his spirit. And there were some things there that were visual and maybe even a little bit on the tangible side. A rushing mighty wind, the sound of a mush. I can hear wind. You know, that's recognizable. Cloven tongues as of fire sat upon him. Oh, that's visual. Well, I can get a hold of that. Why doesn't God do that for us? Is sometimes our question. Sometimes we're brought to that particular idea. Maybe it's the enemy trying to confuse us, or maybe it's the enemy that's trying to discourage us. You know, we prayed. We've had prayer in this sanctuary a few times today, and I didn't feel the building shaking. But I know God's presence was here. I know that God was in her midst. I think we can find a little bit of an answer back in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah's struggling. Elijah's having some difficulties. God said, "Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains." There it is. I can hear wind. I know when the wind's blowing. Sometimes I can know it when I'm inside a building. It's blowing so hard. And so here he is. The Lord passed by. There's a great and a strong wind that is so powerful that it rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord, Jehovah, was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And Elijah heard it. And Elijah heard it. He heard the wind. He felt the earthquake. He saw the fire. But then when there was that still small voice, he heard the voice. Now we are to presume, safely presume, that it was the voice of God speaking. And what did it do to Elijah? I think here's where I want to get our attention drawn. This is the point that I want to make in this. We can become so caught up in things that are tangible, things that are visible. But when Elijah heard the still small voice, what does it say that he did? He wrapped his face in his mantle. There was an attitude of humility as he stood before the Lord, the Jehovah, God, Creator. And he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. But he wrapped his face in his mantle. He recognized the power and the magnificence of God in that still small voice. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that he must increase and we must decrease. What I'm trying to say is, we could look at the words of Paul in his Ephesian letter in chapter 5. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If we go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, Luke records the words of Christ. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power." "Until ye be endued with power from on high." You see, here it is again. It's not about us. It's not even about Wise Ball Community Church. It's all about Jesus. The sacrifice on Calvary. It's all about reaching the lost, being his hands and feet and voice. So the prayer of our heart should be that he would increase And in his increase, let him cleanse us from all the dross of self. He must increase, and in his increase, let him fill us with his Spirit. Charlotte Homer, in 1912, penned these words, "Lord, as of old at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display. With cleansing, purifying flame, descend on us today. All self-consume, all sin destroy, with earnest zeal ensue. Each waiting heart to work for thee, O Lord, our faith renew." Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified. Doesn't say anything about us in that final equation. But that sinners be converted and that his name glorified. Elwood Stokes penned these somewhere back around 1879. "Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh come, and fill me now. I am weakness, full of weakness. At thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed, divine, eternal Spirit, fill with love and fill me now." Judson W. Van Deventer in 1896, song that may be more familiar to us than the others, "All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. All to thee I give." Gerald K. Glick, somewhere around 1998, said these words, or penned these words, "Lord, I give myself to thee. By thy grace, I'll walk the way that's pure and holy. Lord, I give myself to thee. Take my life and use it for thy glory." He must increase. I must decrease. Cleanse our hearts from all sin. Fill us with your Spirit. How is that to take place? It won't take place. It won't take place unless we, like the psalmist, cry from the depths of our heart in Psalm 42, 1 and 2, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God." Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. He must increase. I must decrease. Be filled with his Spirit. Would you stand with me tonight? It's really a simple question as we close. Head out into another week. Am I filled with his Spirit? Am I all that he wants me to be, needs me to be? Am I hungering for him? Am I filled with his spirit? Or is there still something hanging on down in the heart of self? May God help us to decrease as he increases and allow him to cleanse our heart and be filled with his spirit. Before we go, perhaps someone wants to pray tonight. No music, no singing. Maybe somebody needs to pray. I welcome you to the altar. We'd be happy to pray with you.